my son. He puts an interesting question on the parasha, which maybe someone thought about. You heard this yesterday in Kriyas HaTorah. It says that Avram Avinu bought Marsa Machpelah. So what does it say? The parasha's Chayas Sora. It says that he gave him 400 shekel. And he says, oh, right by Shane. So actually, you didn't hear this yesterday. This is where he stopped. Vayokim stay Ephraim. Asher machpelo, asher lethem mamre, asodav amor, asher boy, shkol gvuloi, lavrom, lemikne leinib neches. So after he gave him the 400 shekel, so the whole field of Mars Machpelo became his. Then it says, vachrichen kov avrom asora ishtai. He buried his wife Sora. And then it says again, vayokim asodav amor, asher boy, lavrom, achuzes kermes neches. Why does it say it twice? He just said it. So there's an interesting halachic pshat in that. The halach is, if you want to make a kinyan on a piece of karka, or you want to buy a deer or a field or whatever, so you can either do bekesef, or bestar, or bechazoka, any of the three. But by a goy, that's what it says in Chosh Mishat Simcha Tzadik. If you want to buy from a goy, so you cannot buy it by kesef. It's only bestar or bechazoka. So what basically happened was, Avram Avinu, we know, kept Kol Torah Kula, even though it was way before Matan Torah. Avram Avinu was doing everything al pi halacha. So when he bought it from Ephron and these chevra over there, they thought that by giving them the money, that he really bought it. But he knew that al pi halacha, since they're goyim, he didn't buy it till he made a chazaka. So that's why first it says, when he gave him the money, the 400 shekel, Vayokum stay Ephron asher machpelah, as far as the Mnechais are concerned, so they thought he bought it. As far as they're concerned, it's his. But Avram Avinu knew that wasn't enough. He then buried his wife. When you dig, you make a chazok in the karka. Now that he made a chazok in the karka, now, as far as he was concerned, now it was for his eyes. He looked at it as a Kenyan. Because beforehand, it was as far as they were concerned, it was bought. But as far as he was concerned, it wasn't didn't become his until he actually buried her. Interesting pshat. It comes from the Or Sameach in Sefer Meshech Chochma. Okay, we'll talk a little bit about Chanukah. The first thing is, you'll notice, if a person is a Baal Halacha, so you're supposed to try to be Yoitz as many Shitas as you can. If there's a Mechleis of Paiskim, if you can, your Shmaim is Yoitz Yidishneim, you try to do whatever you can. Chanukah is one of those times, even if you want to, you can't. Not shaykh. Poshe not shaykh. Why? Because there's a tremendous variety of shitas, and physically, you can't be mekayim all the shitas. And it's interesting because there's the old question which the poskim ask. It says, "Harogel b'ner, havli bonim tamid chomim." If a person takes care of neiris, Shabbos, Chanukah, if he does it, he'll have kids tamid chomim. So the old question is, do you know anybody who doesn't light Chanukah lights? Every from person lights Chanukah candles. How come all their kids aren't Tamil Chama? Where they go wrong? Kavana. What's that? Kavana? No, that could be a teretz. The mice we have today, a kuntres from Rabbi Yitzchok Saginor Ben Haravid. The rabbi had a son, Rabbi Yitzchok. He was a Saginor, he's blind. And he had Ruch HaKodesh. Because it says he quoted different things from the Yoha Novi. He had Ruch HaKodesh. We have a kuntres now, came out about 20 years ago, they found the Ksav Yad, from Reb Yitzchok Saginor. Very interesting halachas about Chanukah. Bein Ashar, one of the things he mentions is that the only way we have this haftocha, havli bon tenchum, is you're mekayim all the shitas. There's no way you can mekayim all the shitas. And that's why not a brizat hamachocha. So it's a little bit depressing when you hear it, because everybody wants to have kiss the mechum, they line the candles, whatever, but it's basically not shaykh. And you'll soon hear how it goes. Maybe I'll start off with a kasha, since we are a little bit early. I think tomorrow night we're supposed to have a shir at 7:15, the Rosh Hashiva telling me. Usually I called Mrs. Kleinkauf when she puts up a sign. All these things didn't happen because she just made this up with me last night. there was a question that came up. I have a shir every morning in Ramat Eshkol. We're learning right now, Chanukah, in the Mishnah Berurah. The loch is that if you come back late at night, everybody in your house is sleeping. So there's a big machalikus whether you can make a bracha. Why? The Mogen Avraham says that if there's no one around to see the neiris, you can't make a bracha. You have to light the candles, but you can't make a bracha. The Mishabur brings down the Shartzion. There's a Chemed Moshe, it's an Achron. He argues on that. He says, no. You're mekayin the mitzvah of Neres Chanukah if no one sees it. In addition, there's any pirsumei nisa. So it's a major machlekes here. According to the Magen Avraham, you can't make a bracha because if no one sees it, you are mekayin the mitzvah. You do it anyway, with emotions, but you rely on mekayin the mitzvah. Whereas according to the Chemed Moshe, and the Mishnah Berurah says you can be samech if you have no brera, according to Chemed Moshe, no. Even if there's no one around, you can't make the bracha. The nafkamir will be if you came back and everybody's sleeping. Nafkamir could also be if you're in the middle of the desert, you went on a tour. In the middle of the desert, no one there. According to Magen Avraham, you can't make a bracha, you're not being kind of mitzvah. According to Chemed Moshe, you're kind of mitzvah. It's like similar to a bris. A bris is supposed to be on the eighth day, right? Let's say a kid did not make it on the eighth day, either because he was sick, he was yellow, or the father didn't know the halacha. Or they lived in Hong Kong, they couldn't find a mile. They didn't make it to 2 days later. So you're mekayim the mitzvah, the rice of bris. You're just not mekayim the mitzvah of the eighth day. Two separate things. So now, if you look at the Mishnah Berurah, he says, the chetchili should do like the Magen Avraham, you should wake up the Bnei Bayis. You should wake up the Bnei Bayis. This way, according to everybody, of Pirsumei Nisa. Obvious question is, what's with Gezel Shena? Why is it not a problem to wake up the Bnei Bayis? You come back here, you went on a trip, you came back Chanukah here, you're going to start pounding on your roommate's head, wake him up, pour his Negev Asar on his face, get up, I don't do that. Why does he have to wake up? Because you want to become Neres Chanukah. Where's the logic? This question came up in Shir a few days ago. I couldn't find anybody who talks about it. Finally, I found that Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein, that's the son of Rabbi Yashiv, he's got like 55 Sforim, he talks about this question in his Chedushin on Masech Tanid. I don't know how he landed up over there about it, but he talks about the idea, what is my responsibility for someone else to do a mitzvah? He starts out by saying that Mishnah Mizalma says, let's say a person on my block got very sick on Shabbos, and the loch is that it's Pekuch Nefesh. You can cook for him, you can go to the store and buy it, Pekuch Nefesh. They come to me, I have a nice chont on my blech, on the plata. They want my chont. Do I have to give them the chont? So Mizalma says, no. Since they're allowed to cook on Shabbos, they're allowed to go to the store and buy it on Shabbos, they're allowed to make a delivery on Shabbos, they're allowed to do it, it's Pekuch Nefesh. So I'm not mechuyav to give my chont. Even though, if I give my chont, that will take care of the problem, you won't have to be mechal Shabbos, it's not my responsibility. Because there is a way of doing it. If there's no other way of getting food, then of course I got to do it. A similar question is, and this, the Dvarish comes up. If a person comes to me on Shabbos, and he says, Lerner, you have a car, can you take my wife to the hospital? She has to give birth. Now, I might be a, I don't want to say good Samaritan, because we want to say what you're allowed to keep Shabbos, so you're not a good Samaritan. But if you, if I want, I can do a nice mitzvah. This could be any, there's no, ain't no mitzvah, you're going to be zeppi, kuch nefesh. I can take my, this person's wife to the hospital. But if I want, I can make cheshen. If I'm going to take my car to Hadassah and carry him, and I have to walk back, there's no way to come back, right? If you're an ambulance driver, you can come back, because you always have to be in the ready. But I'm a private guy. So I walk to Hadassah. For me to walk back, it'll take about an hour and a half. I don't want to walk an hour and a half. I'm an old man. I don't want to be away either. Stay there. My wife and kids want me home for Shabbos. My endoklach. I mean, why should I want to be there? Shem Zalman says, I don't got to go. You can take an ambulance. You can take a cab. If I want to do it, great mitzvah. But I don't have to. Fine. So let's go one step further. When it comes to Chanukah candles, he asked his kasha, Rizal Zulian Shakasha, why does the Mishnah Berurah say I should wake up somebody? Agav, how many people do you have to wake up? I was looking back and forth to find out the answer to this question. I came across different shitas on this. The Kaf HaChaim says you have to awaken at least two people. Or Chashulchan says even one person, it could be a little kid. That means there's Pursuming Nissa, even a little kid. Now I was aware that there's Machlekes and Achrenim where there's Pursuming Nissa by Goyim. Now we see there's days that say even little kids, even can't Pursuming Nissa. That itself is an interesting subject. What's exactly involved in Pursuming Nissa? But Rabbi Yitzchak Zilberstein asked the obvious question, which is actually my question. How are you allowed to wake up the Nei Bayis? So he says, there's a locha that says, Kol Yisrael Areven Zelazeh, that every person is, or if he's responsible for somebody else. That's the reason why, if I already made Kiddush, and somebody comes in, and he can't, he's a Baal Tshuva, he can't make Kiddush, doesn't that read? Or he's embarrassed, or he has no say, whatever the reason is, I'm allowed to make Kiddush for him also. If he wants to eat an orange and make a bar preitz, that I can't do. Because loy lehen niv loy levach, there's no chiv to eat an orange. So there's no din of kol yisrael areven. But Kiddush is a mitzvah. So since he wants to do a mitzvah, it's Kiddush, or it's shofar, it's lulav. Anything which is a mitzvah, even though I did it, I can do it for him, because kol yisrael areven. So now he says, being the kol yisrael areven, so therefore, the other people are responsible because I was not mekayim the mitzvah. He says, it must be the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case that these people were not yet mekayim the mitzvah. I'm sorry, most of these people were Mekayim the Mitzvah. Why? Because if these people didn't light Hanukkah candles, of course I can wake them up and do it for their sake. Everyone knows the Gemara of Doma ben Asina. Sounds familiar, the Gemara in Kedushin. He was the goy that they found there was a Porah Duma in their field, and they wanted to sell, but he had to wake up his father, and the key was under his father's pillow, and he didn't wake him up. And Bischarze, even though they went to somebody else, but afterwards he was zeichah. A year later, whatever, is they found they had a stone which they used for the Beis Mikdash, for the Big Kahuna, and he made a lot of money. That's like the epitome of Kibbutz Avim. Do we pass him like that? No, people don't realize that he was a goy. He's a dumb goy. Maybe that's why he's called Doma. Domi the goy. Doma ben Asina. Okay. You look at Sev Chassidim. He says, and the Shach means the Halacha. For him, that was a nice thing to do. It was a very noble act, and he got schar. But as far as we're concerned, that's not the Halacha. The Halacha is, if a person's father is asleep, and you can tell him, by the way, I can wake him up. We have this $1 million deal right now. Of course, he wants you to wake him up. We have a kal ritzayne shil odum zel kavodi. What he wants is his kavod. He certainly would have been want to wake up. And the Sefer Chassidim says, who would then? Let's say your father gets up every day for davening. His alarm clock didn't ring, right? You're allowed to wake him up because he wants to be awoken. You're not doing over gezel shena. He wants to be awoken. So therefore, that's poshet, that if the guy was not yet mekayim mitzvah, of course I can wake him. So must be the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case where the guy already was mekayim. I'm the shlemazel, I woke in at 12 o'clock to do the lux and airs. He was already mekayim, and we're still saying allowed to wake him up. What's the reason? Reason must be, because kol yisrael reivim, because kol zman, I was not mekayim the mitzvah, it's as if he's missing something. So Yitzchak Zilberstein said, if that's the case, let's say it's a person's father or his mother, can he wake them up? 12 o'clock at night, Tati, Mami, I want to be Madlik Ner's Chanukah. Can I do that? So he says he asked the Shver, his father-in-law, Rav Yashiv, Zechariah Levracha, and Rav Yashiv told him back, Chas v'Shalom. Now he doesn't say, I don't know why in the world he didn't ask his father-in-law what was the reason of your psak. And then he starts figuring out what he might have meant. I mean, if I had a father like Rav Yashiv and asked him a question, I'd want to know why. He said it was psak barabim. He didn't ask him. So he decided in his tshuva there that the reason must be because Kol Yisrael Arevim is only if you know about it. If you know about it. So, like the Moshel, if I know that a person has to make Mrs. Shofar, Mrs. Luluv, I have to go help him make the brocha. Let's say I go down the block. Do I know there's somebody on the fourth floor in this apartment building that was Mekayim Shofar? I don't know. Just like if I can help a person, I can save his life, I should. If I don't know about it, I'm potter. So Kol Yisrael Reivim is all you know about it. So he says the father and the mother shouldn't wake up because even though there's a din of Kol Yisrael Reivim, but if they're sleeping, they're not doing anything wrong. So if that's the case, why somebody else who's not my father and mother, I should wake up? So he says because the Maisa, the mitzvah of Ner's Chanukah is exception. The mitzvah of Ner's Chanukah, it says an oni that doesn't have money should sell his clothes in order to kind of mitzvah. That's how important it is. So therefore, my bnei bais, my wife, my kids, they have a shibut to me to help me mekayim the mitzvah. My parents have no shibut to me. I have a shibut to them. So parents, he says, they have no shibut to you, and they're not being over because they don't know about it, whereas somebody else, even though he doesn't know about it, but he has a shibut to help you. So therefore, you're allowed to wake him up and say, Chevra, I wasn't mekayim the chanukah. Wash negavasr, say moedani. We're about to light chanukah candles, and after you're done, sing with them moisur and put them back to sleep. Okay. I don't know if everybody agrees to that. I want to look around. Everybody else talks about it. But that's what he says. Let's talk about the actual mitzvah of Ner's Chanukah. I believe I'm supposed to go to 11:15. Is that correct? Okay. So the question is, where do we light Ner's Chanukah? So the idea of Chanukah, everybody knows, more than a Shabbos, Daf of Gimel, that the time of the Chashmonaim, they had a war. The Romans over there, the Greeks, did not want to let them do any mitzvahs. And they overcame. And there was Rabban Biyad Matan, Torah Biyad Tamein, like we say in the Al Nisim. And then, of course, they lit the candle in from the Shemen. There was very little left Shemen. There was only one little Pach Shemen that was left. That Pach Shemen was enough for one night. They lit it, it went for 8 nights. A big Mechleis Rishayim, what is the actual purpose of Chanukah? Is it to commemorate the Ness of the war, that was Rabban Biyad Matan, or is it to commemorate the Ness of the Shemen, or to commemorate both? It's actually Mechleis Rishayim. Look in the Rambam Rishayim, it's a big Mechleis Rishayim. Fine. They made a takana then to light outside your house within a tefach of the door. Now, you have to remember, in those days, the times of the Chashmonaim, they did not have fluorescent lights downstairs, not even LEDs. They didn't have all these different things. If you wanted to see where you're going and not fall on your face, you lit candles. So all over the place at night, people lit candles. what they did for traffic lights. They didn't have any traffic. They had no cars, right? So they had that problem. But the Maisa, they had candles all over the place. If you would stam light a candle tonight, would somebody say it's because of Hanukkah? No. He would say, because you don't want to trip on your shoelaces. You put a candle over there, right? Because they had candles all over the place. There must have been hundreds of candles. I mean, you went in the streets, you had to see where you're going. So they made a takona that it should be right next to your house, within a tefach of the door. That was a special place. So when you see a person lit over there, you know it's for Hanukkah. And certainly when he lights the next night, like the Mahadrim, he lights two candles and the three candles. So certainly in that situation for sure, it'll be recognized you're doing it for Hanukkah. So that was the original takona. Now, after it got dangerous because of the Goyim, the Romans, whatever, and they did not let you light your Hanukkah candles, Befrat, that as everybody knows, Hanukkah always comes out the same time as Kratzmach, Christmas Balaz, right? Which, when I was a kid, my friends told me that the Jews made Hanukkah because the Goyim are getting presents under the Christmas tree, and we should also get something to make Hanukkah, which is a sheer shtus v'hevel. But that's when we were kids, they said that. And we used to tell our father, we have to get Hanukkah geld because they're getting stuff under the tree. That's a Nusach America, and that's how people think. But Lamaisa, the Goyim did not want people to have their candles and their chagiga, their yontif, during the time of their holiday. So sakona. So they said, okay, Gemara says they said you'd light the candles inside the house. How are you to pursue Menissa? Pursue Menissa, we for the Bnei Bais in the house. That was the takona. Now comes the Or Zeruah. He was a Rishon in Germany, and this is way, way before Hitler and all the tsars they made. In those days, Germany was a nice, peaceful place for Jews. So Or Zeruah says, I don't understand something. If the original takona was to make it for all the people, and afterwards they had to make it inside because they couldn't do it, but now we're living nice and peacefully in a nice, wonderful democracy called Germany, so like, why should we not go back to old Takon and light it outside? This is the Or Zeruah's kasha. The Itter is another Rishon. Anybody heard of the Itter? Probably never heard of it. The Itter, it's quoted by the Beis Yosef Yonden. What's unique about the Itter is the whole Sefer is about 6 or 7 mitzvahs. The Gemara says in Chum Daf Tesamad Aleph, a Tam Chochem has to know Ksav, had a right, Shechita, had a Shecht, and Mila. And there's another man there, also Sheva Brochus, also making tzitzis. Altogether, all the Shechita about 6 or 7 mitzvahs. He wrote that Sefer for those 6 and 7 mitzvahs, and that's it. That's the whole Sefer. Kitzur, the Itter brings down the Kasha of the Or Zeruah as to why we don't go back to the old idea of lighting candles outside. He says, very interesting, Teretz. He says that when they said you should light it inside, so the Chazal were very aware that there are changes in history, and a lovely democracy like Germany might one day be Hitler, right? And places like America that one day was very nice and democratic, you know, you have these senators and whatever, they're mamish anti-Semites. Things change. Nothing stays in its place. So therefore, once Chazal said you should do it inside, they didn't say it's inside until it comes nice and peaceful. They said leave it inside because you never know what it's going to be. It might be in a certain part of history there'll be anti-Semites in France. 10 years later, it might be in America. 5 years later, it might be in Africa. You don't know. So therefore, they said it remains inside, and the mitzvah remained pursuing nisa for the Bnei Bais. That machlekes rishayim is the real machlekes that you have between all different shittas. When you see Hanukkah, some people light by the window, some people by the door here, some people by the door outside. It all starts with this machlekes. Some people think it's machlekes of chassidim and yeshivisha. It's mamish not true. It's mamish not true. It's poshet. This machlekes rishayim is the Or Zeruah right that we're supposed to light outside, and if you don't light outside, you're not yoitza, because even though there was a sakona a certain period of history, but now it's not a sakona, so therefore you have to light outside. Or is the Bala Itter right that once we said to light inside for sakona, it remains like that in all places, even if there's no danger? That's the machlekes. So now, here too, since these things are not mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch, and the Mishnah Berurah doesn't discuss it too much, and people make up different stories, and you hear different shitas that don't exist, let's try to mevar something. Rav Eliashiv, as is Yidua, was very, very strong that you have to light outside. He held like the Or Zeruah. And he held Ad Kedei Kach that if you don't light outside, you're not Yoitza. That's a very, very extreme position. Why is extreme position? First of all, Rav Moshe Feinstein writes clear. In Dibris Moshe, the Sefer on the Masechtas, which most people don't look at, it's not the Igros Moshe, but these huge swarm on every Masechta, and the Shabbos verse, is 3 huge rhymes, and most people never look at them because they're so long, but that's how he became Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe writes that even then, when they had to light outside, before they said go back inside. Even then, he said it was only a hidr to light outside. If you light inside, you were yaitze. But Rav Yashar doesn't learn like that. Rav Yashar holds, if you light inside, you're not yaitze. America's different. But here, in a place like Yerushalayim, where there's no sakona, so according to Rav Yashar, you have to light outside. Now, it's interesting that when we would ask him questions, talking about 40 years ago, 30 years ago, we ask a question, can you use a floating wick? Can you use this type of shaman? Can you, all these different questions you ask. He would ask you, by the way, where do you light? We light inside. Like, now you're anyway, so what's the difference? He'd walk away. Like, he was like so extreme. Like, he held, if you're not doing like that, it's a waste of time to answer your shayla. Even though, I'm sure Yasha was aware that statistically, most of Klai Yisrael does light inside. Here in Yerushalayim also. Most people do light inside, because the other shittas, which I'll mention in a minute. But Rav Yashar was very extreme. What's also amazing is that until age 50 or something, Rav Yashar himself lit inside. It's only after like 50, and he had many years to go. He lived to, I think, 102, right? So until age 50, he lit all the years, and he was a Talmid Chacham, he lit inside, and he changed his mind. Rav Yashar always held that there's nothing wrong with a Pesach changing his mind. People look at it, what? Rav Moshe said this way, 5 years ago, he said, Fakert. They look at it as Bezayin. Rav Yashar, all those people that were Mechabri Svarim, who made books, Svarim, knew there was a problem to ask Rav Yashar a halachic position, because it might be by the time it's printed, or by the time someone gets your sefer 5 years from now, he changed his mind. He changed his mind very often, and he used to tell people that you're supposed to do like that. He showed us a Gemara and a Rashbam in Bava Basra, Kuflam, and Beis, that it says over there, if you have a Pesach, and you heard a Pesach from him, you shouldn't paskin now again because you once heard it from him. Go back to him, because maybe he changed his mind. This says in the Rashbam. He could have changed his mind. So Rav Yashar said, that is the proper way Pesach should be. You should always learn in Chazring. And there's no busha in this year learning again and saying, I learned wrong last time. And it happened very often. So Rav Yashar, at around age 50, decided that you have to light outside. And the way he understood was that he was never Yotze until then, which is amazing. There are other Pesachim that say Fakir. I think the extreme to the other side is there's a sefer called Dvar Yeshua, who was a big dayan in Tel Aviv. He answered back Rav Yashar and he said, Punk Fakir. The loch is like the Or Zeruah. All of Klai Yisrael lights inside, both in Chutz Laaretz and in Eretz Yisrael. Even in Chutz Laaretz, there are a lot of places that are peaceful. If in the middle of Borough Park, there's a problem with Sakona to light candles, a Schwarzer should dare come in there and try to attack your candles. They'll kill him on the spot, or Williamsburg. It's a very peaceful place for Jew to be, and they all light inside. So he says that today, the loch is like the Iter, and if you light outside, you're not Yoitza, which is also very extreme. The Maisa, the bottom line is that if a person lights outside, he has to be samechan. If he lights inside, he has to be samechan. And there's no mitzvah to say that since I'm yitzah, you're not yitzah. Since you're yitzah, I'm yitzah. So machlokes a paiskim, and you go all the shittas. You can't be yitzah all the shittas. Now Moshe Shteinbruch wants to machri. He says it's a big shayla. You should light one downstairs by the door and one in your window. Okay. I mean, I had six boys in my house, kanhora. So I said to each one of them, light one upstairs, one downstairs. It's a pain in the neck. Bechlal, a lot of people don't know. Little kids today all light candles, right? And of course they're moisim ha'ilich every day. And of course they use shemazayis. Moisim ha'ilich is a hider. Shemazayis is a hider. It's a befer shalocha. There's no mitzvah of chinuch when it comes to hider mitzvah. No such thing. So theoretically, any kid that's not bar mitzvah should be lighting one simple wax candle every night. That's great. Al pi halacha. Does it work? No, because the kids don't accept that. Every kid has to light shema. Every kid has to be moisim ha'ilich. Can't change the world. That's the mitzvah. But I'll just tell you one other machlekes, which also makes big in Nafkamina. There's a question, when a person lives in an apartment house and you have a cheder madrigot in English is stairwell. My English, every year that I'm here, it's a show, my English improves. So I'm here over 40 years, it gets worse and worse. But my wife is Israeli, but I have American Talmidim, so I still remember some English. It gets better as I go along. In any event, when you have an apartment house, how do we look halachically at an apartment house? As you know, or as you don't know, I don't know where you guys are holding Chutz Chanukah. When it comes to the lighting candles, so I can light it at the door of my house, my private house, Pesach HaBayis. I can also light it at the house of my chotzer. My chotzer would mean I have a house with a yard in front of the garden. I can, and there's a door over there. I can do it over there. Mezuzah on the right side, then there's Chanukah on the left side. Great. What happens if I have a movui? A movui is, go a few blocks down, Inger Shahizer, Boti Ungerem. You people ever saw the place? And Meir Shorim, Boti Ungram, Boti Varsha, you have a bunch of houses. Those houses, some of them have a porch on the ground floor. There's a big yard in the front. That big yard goes into Meir Shorim, which we'll look at as Rosh Hashanah, even though it's not White 16 Amos. That big yard is called a Movli. can I light the candles at the Pesach the Movi? The answer is no. It's a fresh thing more, it's a fresh in Shulchan Aruch, Tafresh Ayin Aleph. You can't light over there because no one knows who it is. There's 50 people that have a schus to that yard. So Pesach HaBayis, yes. Pesach HaChotzer, yes, is my Chotzer. Pesach HaMovli, which belongs to everybody, you can't. So now let's go to our case of the apartment house. So all those people that light downstairs, they will tell you that besides the Vayashiv, the Briskerov held the light by the door of his apartment house, that's where he lit, and the Chazanish also lit by the door of the house. Is that correct? Yes and no. What does it mean, yes and no? Like all things. You look at it, there's two sides to it. The Briskerov, yes. The Briskerov held that you have to light downstairs like a Vayashiv, because now that it's a peaceful place, you have to light downstairs. Did he say not you to light upstairs? I'm not aware of that, but he held his light downstairs. The Chazanish, yes and no. What do I mean, yes and no? He lit downstairs. If you'd ask him where to light, he would tell you upstairs. How's that? So people get confused. That's when the Heintige Svarm, some Svarm quote the Chazanish is saying, you have to light downstairs. You have part. 99% of all yeshiva guys, of all Hamisha people, live in apartment houses. They're not down in people that have villas, you know, private houses here in Yerushalayim. So how could it be that the Chazanish himself lit downstairs and he told people to light upstairs? So I asked many years ago, I sent a letter to Chaim Kanievsky, like the steers over, someone's not telling the truth. He says, no, they're telling the truth. The Chazanish had this little dinky house that was given to him by some nice gvir, so he should sit and learn. It was a private house. It was 2x4. If you can see his house, by the way, when you go in Kvish Misparachat to Bnei Brak, right as about you enter Bnei Brak, on the left side, there's a Talmud Torah of Chinechat, somewhere it's called Razi Li. That was the Chazanish's house. It was made a big building around it, but that's where he lived. He had a private house. The Chazanish held. If you are in a private house, then you should light in Eretz Yisrael, you should light where it's safe, you should light by the Pesach HaBayis downstairs. But the Chazanish held, if you live in an apartment house, which everybody does, then you can't light downstairs because he healed its Pesach HaMovi. The Briskerov held that the entrance to the building is a Pesach HaChotzer. And the Chazanish said no, that the entrance to apartment building is Pesach HaMovi because it belongs to all the tenants. So therefore, even though the Chazanish himself lit downstairs, but all of his Talmidim that didn't live, didn't have the private house, they have an apartment house, he told them they have to light upstairs and they have to lit in the window. So the stories are true that the Chazanish lit downstairs, and the other side is also true, he had denied the light there for his apartment house. Yeah?
How many people would have to live in an apartment building to be considered not a private house?
I think even two. I think even two. Even two. Even two people. Agav, Rishon Zalman Auerbach, who I remember, used to light by the entrance to his door downstairs. He writes clearly, if there's more than one person in the apartment house, and you see more than one, better light upstairs. And that's what he told people. So again, he lit downstairs, but he told all people in the apartment house to light upstairs. So these things, you have to know what each person says. I don't want to go overboard, it's over Shabbos. We can talk about this more tomorrow night at 7:15. That's what's supposed to come. In the meantime, Freilich Shabbos.
I mean, it says light upstairs. Do they light by their door, by their apartment? Or they light by the window.
So I didn't get to that, but Ramaisa, Ramosha Feinstein says if you're already lighting upstairs, then you might as well light in the window because you gain the people downstairs. They can also see it. But there are a lot of people, Chassidim for instance, that will light Dafka by the door inside because their Ramos says it's kedai to do that as a memory of what it once was. And because also, there's some people light inside by the door.
Inside their house by the door or outside the house by the door?
Inside the house by the door.
Like that hallway apartment.
So you're asking a question that I was hoping you wouldn't ask. I asked this question to Vayashev. For some reason Vayashev holds that downstairs is called Pesach HaChotzer and upstairs is Pesach HaMovi. I don't know how that works.